RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
As everybody knows by now, phase one of the Commission of Inquiry into COVID is underway. Meetings and sessions are being held. We are engaged in the process through an invitation. And representing VFF RCR were Alia Bland, Claire Deeks, and Katie Ashby-Coppins. I think it was an online meeting. And before we get Alia on this morning to get a sense of how that went and, you know, the nature of or style of what's going on with this phase one. Alia, thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, Paul. It's good to be here and give everyone an update on what went down.
Okay, so I'm using the royal we. We were invited to be part of the session. Is that correct?
That's right, yes. Quite a while ago, actually, we'd had an invitation from the Royal Commission for phase one of this COVID inquiry, although at the time it probably wasn't called phase one because it's only really happened since phase two has been announced.
Yeah.
Yes, and we've just been sort of trying to find a time that would suit and decide whether or not we actually wanted to do it. And so we finally managed to settle on a date last week on Thursday. And we ended up doing it online because of the geographic nature of where we all were. So Claire and I are different parts of New Zealand and Katie Ashby-Coppins.
Of course, Katie. Australia. I mentioned Katie, yep.
And as it turned out, there were members of the inquiry commissioners and team who were in one place and another person who was in another place. So it just was easiest to do it in an online setting.
Okay. And how did it go? What can you tell us?
All right. Well, we had 90 minutes set aside to speak with the team. And so the team was commissioners Blakely and Whitehead, and other members of their team, including somebody who was a comms person, a legal representative, and an admin person of staff who was there taking notes. And the meeting was recorded to be released later, potentially. And we really were given the floor to speak for pretty much uninterrupted for 90 minutes about who we were as an organisation, the sorts of challenges that we'd faced, our achievements, and our experience of the last 4 years. We had sent out an email the week before letting people know on the Voices for Freedom mailing list that this is what was on the cards and the reason why we had said yes, even though we've been pretty open in saying that we're fairly critical of this phase one of the inquiry because of its gaping holes and problems with conflicts of interest and that sort of thing with the commissioners. So in the end, we decided that it was better to have our voices heard than not. And it was an opportunity to get across some of the really important things that our people within our community have been worried about and have the concerns over the last 4 years. So we took that on board. We put together a massive presentation of the last 4 years of all the things that were worthy of talking about. And, of course, we ran out of time because, 90 minutes is not long to go through 4 years of tyranny.
So we
did our best, and I can sort of go through some of the things that we talked about in a minute, but essentially we had the floor, we were speaking, and occasionally one of the commissioners would ask a question to clarify something or to elaborate if that was needed. And that didn't happen very many times, but it did happen a couple of times that were kind of interesting and where they came in the discussion as to the nature of what we were talking about at the time. I can maybe talk about some of those in a minute. It was, all in all, it was a very respectful interaction. We were treated, really respectfully, and it was positive, I think, in the whole, and it's a good practice run for the next time.
Yeah, training wheels.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, so they were respectful. They listened to you, asked the odd question. You had to cram so much into 90 minutes. Hopefully you got what you wanted, the main content items from that in that time.
Yeah, so we talked about the nature of the organisation, VFF. Why was it formed in the first place? What have been some of our challenges along the way? Obviously, things like censorship and all the misinformation that was not coming from us, but was coming from the powers that be that we were calling out at the time. Propaganda, doublespeak from the government, that was something that got a few questions lobbed our way as to whether or not we could give some examples of those, that doublespeak, because I made a comment that, you know, what was coming out from the government was often at odds with the truth. And, you know, we knew that because we had people on the inside in various departments, what was being said behind closed doors and what was being said to the public were two different things. And I was asked to give some examples of that, and I thought that was rather amusing that we could probably spend the whole 90 minutes just talking about those examples and going through them all. They're so numerous. So we talked about that. We talked about the mandates and the massive impact that had on people's lives, families, and that sort of thing. Informed consent was discussed, our Bill of Rights, the cruelty of some of the rules and restrictions and some of the tragic consequences that came from those. One off the top of my head was that, you know, we could all go to, at a certain point of time, we could go to the mall and mingle along with other people as those people who chose not to take the COVID vaccine. And yet, if you were wanting to go and attend a wedding or a funeral, your presence there would reduce the numbers significantly. And I punctuated that by giving the example of Rory Nen, who had, you know, he had taken this product in order to have his wedding, and that he was never able to be married because he had passed as a consequence of taking that jab. And so that was a very sort of a tense moment in the room. But it was necessary, you know, that these things, it's not just for giggles, right? Like this, what happened was really serious, and it has had long lasting effects. We talked about the children's vaccine and some of the safety issues and our legal cases that we were helping with. We talked about masks and the law and Advertising Standards Authority and some of the decisions that came from there. Lots of talk about censorship from all sorts of different angles, whether that be social media or from industry regulators like the Medical Council, putting limits on what could be spoken about by medical professionals and such. And then lastly, we touched on how the result of all of this, the last 4 years, has been the destruction of trust in our institutions, specifically the government and the media and the health system. And, you know, that really hit home, I think, when we were talking about that stuff. And the question was asked, what do we think as Voices for Freedom could be done to try and rebuild some of that trust? And, you know, I just couldn't help but laugh because I just thought it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, good luck with that is what I said. You know, it's so deep, the trust that has been broken with a lot of people. But I did offer that I thought that a step in the right direction as a beginning would be some serious apologies and also for accountability to be seen to be done publicly. So, you know, that was noted, and that's how we left it. We have applied or requested a second session to get through the things that we didn't talk about. I would have liked to have given more examples of people's actual stories that they wrote in, because they're heartbreaking and they really do kind of tell, you know, they give a good idea of the sorts of heartache and anxiety and stress and pressure and trauma that has been caused because of these decisions over the last few years.
So you're waiting to hear back about that second opportunity, potentially? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I'm not sure that we'll get it, but, you know, it doesn't, I understand that people, the hesitation that people have with wanting to get involved in this sort of thing, and we felt it too, which is why we deliberated for so long. But in the end, I think it was worthwhile having our experience noted there, and it will be part of the report at the end. And who knows what will happen with it, but it's there, it's documented, it'll be a part of history.
I wonder if I could ask you this. Did you pick up in the response from the commissioners to what you were saying any surprise or look of,
yes,
wow, I didn't know that?
Yeah, I did. And we all did, actually. And it's interesting, I think, that sometimes people, when they are living and existing in another world where they've made different choices, they're associated with different sorts of people, they can lose sight of what the rest of other people are experiencing. And we found the same thing when we met with the human rights commissioners at the same time of the protest, when we were desperately trying to get them to intervene and help with having the protesters be heard by the government, which was unsuccessful at the time. But we noticed in that meeting too, you could tell that these people had no idea of the sorts of things that were happening as a result of this two-tier society that had been created by the previous government. And I just don't think, unless you walked it, or if you're a terribly empathetic person, maybe you don't know what it was like for these people on the ground, you know, especially when you've got a husband who's a firefighter, professional firefighter, a wife who's a nurse, they've both lost their jobs, they're losing their house. You know, this is huge in people's lives. And if you haven't allowed yourself to think about it, then maybe it's all fresh to you. And I do get a feeling that at least some of that was present in that meeting.
Well, thank you for that, Alia. It's another part of the puzzle that's coming together.
We're definitely pushing to be a part of the second phase, for sure, and in as many ways possible as we can be, because this is where, you know, the juicy stuff is getting spoken about and investigated. So that's really what we're most interested in. So this was a good practice run.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.